presses. Mm. They've got these kind of beautiful rough edges, and then the paper is also kind of got a great hue, and the edges of the paper are not sort of, they're not straight, they're kind of rough, and the color of the paper, and so it does have that real addition thing. But is there a specific paper that you need to use, or that sort of lends itself to what you're doing? Or?
Well, there is. The papers that work best are very soft papers that are going to take impression well.
Yeah.
The book that I worked on with Holly Morrison, with the photogravures, we actually ordered a lot of paper, like thousands of dollars worth of paper that we'd used before, and then got the paper and discovered that it was different. Something had changed in the manufacture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, the mill agreed that it was different. We sent all these samples, printing samples to them.
Yeah.
And then we switched to a different kind of paper. But they're all printmaking papers. They're soft, and they're, 100% rag papers.
Yeah, I was about to say, the photography world has been going through quite a big change. We find a lot of artists now using Hanamuel rag, which is kind of a very velvety type paper in which the ink really sort of bleeds into it and gives it a really luminous and lush feel. The stock that you're using is also got, it is quite thick in itself, and it has to be to take, I guess, the press. You can't use a thin stock.
Yeah.
It just won't work.
Oh, you can actually. You can print, very beautiful printing can be done on very fine Japanese papers.
And it holds
doesn't,
well?
Yeah, it doesn't need to. You know, one of the things, I guess, about letterpress is that there is a sort of common perception that it's all about a lot of impression.
Mm.
And in a way, that's because that's what's going to differentiate it from something that's offset or digitally printed.
Yeah, of course.
Historically, though, letterpress people were looking for what they call kiss impression, which was just a very, very gentle impression.
It's a light touch, almost.
A light touch. Yeah. And so that it's a matter of style now and personal preference. People are have very strong opinions one way or another about this. But you can use a very fine paper. A lot of the papers, though, those fine Japanese papers, are still soft papers.
Mm-hmm. In terms of preservation, does it fade over time, or is it probably more resilient than your average kind of means of printing?
Well, the issue is not so much the mode of printing as it is what you're using, so the ink.
Yeah.
So certain inks will fade, and so you want to look for something that's a good quality ink. It's really a question of the ink more than the technique.
Sure.
Okay.
And so, being based in the US for such a long time, has it been quite an ordeal getting all of your equipment over here and reset up?
Well, I certainly think that it could have been a great documentary. And it was something
It was an ordeal.
It was an ordeal.
If you want to know what a letterpress looks like, we'll give you the website address later. You can just see the sheer size of these things.
It's a lot of weight. One of the things about, my work thus far is that a lot of it has been interrupted by moves. I've had two major moves with equipment, and I think I've spent about half of the last 10 years with stuff in the process of moving it, or in storage, or on a ship. Or
so you haven't had your ideal setup yet?
Well, I have something that's really wonderful at the moment, and I did have a wonderful studio in Cleveland as well. I've been very lucky with the spaces that I've had. I've made very good friends with equipment movers. I have movers back in Cleveland that I still write to and send me Christmas cards. And I have some great movers here.
Are they letterpress cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, yeah. I have great movers here in Melbourne as well. If anybody needs equipment moved, I know really wonderful people and very good-natured movers, which is key, because it's really difficult stuff to move.
Mm.
It's incredibly heavy, but a lot of the equipment is also very brittle. It's cast iron, and so if it tips, it will just smash. So I've been lucky with the people that I've found to move it, but it has been very difficult to move. The things were crated. To move to Australia, the things were crated. Everything was really well, actually, yeah. And it came by ship in a container. I had stuff in storage for a long period.
Sure. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Icebreakers on Against the Arctic. It's Declan and Dave talking with Carolyn Fraser from Idlewild Press in the Nicholas Building about the art of letterpressing. Now, you have some amazing stories about rescuing all sorts of pressing equipment from various locations across America and basements and the like.
Yeah.
What kind of things did you find? And
well, I think that one of the things that I really love about this kind of work is the engagement with the tools, which are not easily available anymore. And so generally finding them does come with a story, and they do have a history of use. And a lot of the tools and equipment, these were things that were built to last forever. They were built, they were designed in ways that, with a sort of attention to their function, that a lot of things are not anymore.
Must be so satisfying, yeah. Finding those things.
Yeah, it's really, and it's something that I really like to. I like to know where these. I like to know something about the history of the things that I have. Mm. It's not always possible, but I've tried to do that, just from my own interests.
Curiosity,
yeah. And also because I do think of this as being something that is a craft that has a lineage, and part of that lineage is just your equipment and who used it before you got it.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of times I've bought things from old men, and also the widows of old men who haven't gotten rid of this stuff, and it's clogging the basement and their wives are very anxious to get rid of it. And so one of the stories that I tell that it's always it's been a sort of an interesting thing for me over time is that I did buy a lot of equipment from this one woman who had all of this stuff still in the basement, and there were boxes of things, and I was unpacking stuff, and there was dust and dirt, and it was horrible, horrible stuff to go through. And there was a little box, and it was, I recognized the box. It was the kind of box that you would find gauge pins in, which mm-hmm. are something that I use. And I opened the box expecting to find gauge pins, but instead, inside was a wadded up tissue, and in the tissue was a tooth. It was a molar, and it had been filled a number of times, and it was quite disgusting. But I had this sense of this man who had worked in the printing industry his whole life. Yeah. When letterpress, had been superseded,
sure.
He'd gotten some of this equipment from his workplace and set it up in his basement and did this on his own time. I just had this idea of him down there after work, and his tooth falls out, and he just kept working. I could go upstairs, but, I'll just wrap it up and put it down here.
Stick it in a box.
And so, I've often had the idea of, writing short stories about these tiny little things that I know about people through using their equipment. Mm. And they're fictional in the end, but they take...
some real basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those stories work lovely into the medium that you're using as well.
Mm.
As these books in front of us show. And on that, I guess for the listeners out there that would be interested in seeing some of the work that you do, what's the best way of them being able to do so?
Well, I do have work that's held at the State Library of Victoria.
Yep.
And so anybody, the State Library has a wonderful artist book collection. Anybody can go and request to see books from the collection. You could, just type my name into the catalogue, sure. and books will come up.
Yep.
They are in special collections, so they have to be they're requested and looked at in the rare books room. That would be one way. I have shown work here, not in Melbourne, actually, in Mackay and Noosa. Yep. Both of those regional galleries have good book collections, mm-hmm. and have yearly shows. I have ideas for some installation shows that I'd like to do, but nothing that's been settled as yet.
I think Melbourne's really embraced artist books especially, we were talking of it briefly, I'm sort of seeing a bit more of a resurgence of it of late. There's more bookstores around and exhibitions, as you were saying, of artist books. And I do recommend that you go along and view these if you can, because they're intriguing items that you can quite easily get lost in.
They are. One of the books you've got here was sort of the first big Idlewild project, the Extinguishing of Stars. What are you kind of working on, I guess, now and plans for the future as well?
Well, that was the last book that I did before moving out here. It's my most recent book, but by now it's actually quite old. And I did that in collaboration with Holly Morrison, who did the photogravures, and she's a wonderful artist. And one of the sad things for me in leaving Cleveland was having to give up on some of the ideas that we had spoken about together.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm mostly doing my commercial work, custom stationery and the like.
Yeah.
I have a number of projects in mind. One of the things about these books, the two that I have here and others that I've been involved with in the past, is that they take an enormous amount of time to work on. And I am interested in actually producing more, and in terms of quantity. And so I think what I'm going to try to do is have an ongoing long-term project that I'll work on, and most likely that will be in collaboration with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to start, I'm talking about this on radio without having actually thought this through. I'm thinking it through right now.
Exclusive.
But,
you heard it here first.
Right. I'm going to start a series of, it'll be a fiction series, and there'll probably be 4 to 6 a year, most likely on a subscription basis. And there'll be smaller scale works that will have, most likely will be sort of thematic in terms of design. They probably will be loosely thematic in terms of content. And again, I'd like to work collaboratively on that. I have another sort of top secret and now not so top secret idea for a small show of photographic works that are then imprinted. The text is going to be superimposed on those images.
Oh, okay.
And a few other things.
Great.
We should mention that you do have a website that, although it is out of date, has a fantastic a description of what Idlewild
and the construction is about of said book.
That's correct. That's definitely what I was leading to, is to look through. I think you've got images of most of the pages, if not all. So
that website was also put together by Holly. It's a fantastic resource.
It is. It is indeed.
And also, if you want to know a little bit more about how this is done and the look of the work and the feeling, it's really great. Well, and is that the best way to contact you if people are interested in?
No, it's not. I am actually I'm meeting somebody this week to talk about another website. The best way to contact me actually is it is actually through the website, I guess.
Yeah.
But it could be just at frontdesk@idlewildpress.com. That's email is really the best way.
Yeah, sure.
We'll leave that on the.
We'll attach that to the
RRR website.
RRR website and the Against the Arctic playlist. Well, Carolyn, it's been fantastic. Carolyn Fraser, if you do want to go to the State Library and search those books, and Holly Morrison is the other artist on the Extinguishing of Stars. Thanks for coming into Icebreakers this
week.
Thank
you, that was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. And see you, Dave.
Hey, I will be back probably sometime late April.
We look forward to it.
Hopefully with a bit of a rundown on what happened at the Art Melbourne, which is coming up on the 20th to the 22nd of April.
Great.
Also, just quickly, if you do have a chance, up until April the 7th is Sue Ford's photographic exhibition at Arc One Gallery. Sue is synonymous with, I suppose, forging Australian, contemporary Australian photography, at least over the past maybe four decades, and is in the same ilk as Moffat and Henson. So do get along and see that if you get the chance.
Great. Well, you're on Against the Arctic until 10 o'clock with Declan. We'll get back to some sounds. We'll go down to Brazil.
To the station, it's the second day of June, wearing white thin leather gloves and a heady headache from last night. Now you do the talking and I'll keep us on the road. I am transporting our treasure, here I am making sure that he gets on. The sun is shining, I have everything, the strength.
Turn, 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 turn
I'll drive you down to the station. It's a lazy summer's day. I got no extraordinary cards in my hand, no words or actions to make you stay. You like to be up north and I like it down here. Love, isn't it just like air? You breathe it and it's everywhere. The sun is shining, I have everything. A driver's license, a car and a song to sing. Sing, 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 sing. 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 So round, so round.
and you're listening to Against the Arctic on 3RRR.
That lady can certainly sing, the vocals of Tyra Hammond on that track from New Zealand group Open Souls. Rise Up Part 2 on a 7-inch on their own independently run label. It's called From the Crate. And we had From Mountains in the Sky before that. A lovely opening track from the record Akipio from last year. Raekwon with the El Mikel's Affair, just something new that came out on their Brooklyn label Truth and Soul Records, which we do like to hear from here on Against the Arctic. The track we heard was PJ's. Last week we heard the vocal version, but I just have been so kind of in love with the mood of that song that I just wanted to hear the instrumentals without the rap today. PJ's is the name of that song. Crayon Fields before that. Back, Front, Side, Low, High from their album Animal Bells. And back at the top, after we finished speaking with Carolyn Fraser, it was lovely to have her here, and thanks to her for joining us tonight. We heard from Frida Hivonen, or Hivonen, I'm not exactly sure. Hivonen, I think maybe is the way to pronounce her name. She hails from Sweden, and that was the opening song from her record. The song's called I Drive My Friend, and it's just locally out. I think it's on Chapter, is it? Yeah, I think it is. Three things on Chapter Music in that last bracket. Wow, it's like I'm sponsored or something, but I'm not. You're on Against the Arctic with Declan. Just about 25 more minutes to get through on the show tonight. Coming up at 10 is Michael Cusick. Brings you a show called Noise in My Head. And a fine 2 hours of sounds it is. Can't get this Debris song out of my head either. It's a collaboration with Wajid from the Platinum Pied Pipers. It's off the latest Debris record, 2-3. You're on the R's.
Hi, this is Brian Wise from Off The Record, just letting you know that Triple R will be bringing you live coverage of the inaugural Point Nepean Music Festival on Easter Saturday. Off The Record will be broadcast live from Point Nepean from 10 a.m. Then at midday, Denise Highlands and I will host live coverage from the festival right through until 6 p.m. There'll be interviews and live performances from the likes of the Custom Kings, Mick Thomas and the Sure Thing, and the Audreys. Tune in from 10 a.m. Easter Saturday as Triple R brings you live coverage of the first Point Nepean Music Festival.
You're fighting against the Arctic with Declan Kelly on 3RRR.
Thank you.
Delicious sounds of one Jeremy Dower remixing Architecture in Helsinki, their track Like a Call. It's the Jeremy Dower's Buy Me Now, I'm Cheap remix, which you can find on the collection We Died, They Remixed, which came out at the end of last year, previously only available on bright blue neon vinyl. in its 10-inch form. And you can catch Architecture doing some shows in support of a single off their new record. I think May 5th is the date of that one show. They're just doing the East Coast cities before running away again to do more shows overseas and put the finishing touches on album number 3. But check your local guides for some more accurate details. Mikey Squire was before that. Funky Budgie, the name of the song, the B-side to a little 7-inch that we first heard last week on the show with the Ransom side. And looks like Mikey's going to be joining Mikey on their next show, Noise in My Head, coming up very shortly here on 3RRR. Jay Dilla was before that with Let's Take It Back, the instrumental from his new but old album, Rough Draft, just out on Stone's Throw, and Debris started us off. A track called Georgie, or Jorge, collaboration with Wajid from the Platinum Pied Pipers. Fantastic track. Just before I run away, it is that time of the year. We don't often ask you, our good listeners to RRR, to put your hands in your pockets for this fine radio station, but we got April Amnesty happening for the month of April. And we do our usual subscribe-a-thon coming up a little bit later in the year, but that's some months away. And lots of our friendly RRR family have coughed up with some good prizes for any of those freeloading listeners that might want to put their money where their ears are and subscribe to RRR. There's heaps of double passes to give away from lots of great local venues like The Corner, the Prince of Wales, Northcote Social Club and the East Brunswick Club. There's some passes to the Melbourne International Film Festival, a double pass the opening night, and some mini passes, a couple of mini passes to the season of the festival that's coming up. Vouchers from Polyester, Brunswick Bookstore, and season double passes to the upcoming Malthouse Theatre season. So there's heaps of good prizes. If you do dig on the sounds of RRR and you're not currently a subscriber and you want to throw yourself into the running for those prizes, you can give us a call here on 93881027, but you don't have to subscribe to a particular show. You could just call up during the week any old time and someone will take your call. So we'd love to hear from you. I am just about to get out of here with a couple of reggae songs before I go. And a giveaway, Sydney band Olo, who we just heard a little card about before, released their album The If. They'll be playing down at Horse Bazaar this Friday, April the 6th, down there on Lonsdale Street in the city. And if you're a current RRR subscriber, see the benefits you get, April Amnesty people, when you're a RRR subscriber. All these giveaways, 93881027 is the number to ring, and I got one copy of that. I'll leave you with Silford Walker, a version of Lamb's Bread. Stay tuned for Michael Kay. I'll see you next week between 8 and 10. Thanks for listening. Feel alright, and I know.
strong. Open Jah Jah. Open and pray. He will help I one day. This I want long straight neck, I do no one wrong. I want long straight neck, I do no one wrong. Can you oh no? I'm on burn up.